Well, hello and welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for the local church. I'm your host, Sam Rainer. I'm with my dad, the founder and CEO of Church Answers. His name is Tom Rainer. In case you don't know him, that's Tom with an H. Make sure you get that right. But even more importantly, we have the incredible, the most amazing Tim Cool with us. Tim, it is good to have you on the show today.
As always, it's great to be with the Rainer twins.
I don't know how I feel about that. I feel good. Twins?
Well, Doctor, Doctor. I think that's a song from the 80s, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. We both have our doctorates. Yes, but I don't know. I don't know about the twin thing. I don't know how I feel about that.
We'll say we're talking to the father of triplets, so he gets right into that.
That is true. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Well, I also consider Tim Cool the king of all things church facilities. And we're going to be talking about that, church facility stewardship. We're going to be talking about a book he has coming out that I think you and I may have had a few things to say in that book. Before we get to it, we want to thank our sponsor, Tyndale. And Tyndale really is pointing us to one of their resources. God wants you to flourish. We all know that life is not always fun, but it can always bear fruit. Join my friend, Beth Moore, on a six-session journey, discover what it means to abide in Christ and to bear fruit. The six-session Chasing Vines group experience is a topical study, and you will not want to miss this. So for information on Beth's Chasing Vines book, the group study, and the DVD, you can go to chasingvines.com, or as always, we have it in the show notes.
So can I just say that sounds really good. I think our listeners at least need to go check it out. Chasingvines.com. Beth Moore is just obviously an incredible teacher. Teaming up with Tyndale, this is going to be a good resource.
Oh, it's going to be a great resource. And you better go home, or you are, I see you are at home right now. While you're at home, you better go tell your wife, Erin, about this one too, because she's going to jump at it.
Oh, yeah. No, my wife is definitely a huge Beth Moore fan, but I am too, just so you know. We both like her a lot.
We're both Tim Cool fans and Smart Church Solutions fans. So let's return back to Tim and let's talk about this book coming out. Let's talk about church facility stewardship. Sam, take it away.
Yeah, definitely excited about anything that you write, Tim. And I know that you know we have partnered together on a few books and helped you publish a couple of them. But with this new one, you know we've talked about this concept, but why write the book?
Well, it's a great question, Sam. You know, for the books that you and I, you know, partnered with previously, it was all about the thinking through how to use a church and why a church building matters and how do you properly master plan it. And a lot of it was, while it was pragmatic, it was on a higher level. It was more of a theory of you know, the purpose of church buildings and so on and so forth. But what we have seen, and as you and I and Tom have talked, there's this huge void in the difference between, oh, we've got this nice building, and isn't it pretty, and we use it for this, that, and the other, and oh, now we got to take care of it. And it's that entrusted piece, and when you look at the life cycle of a building, the cost of ownership, not the cost of building, but the cost of ownership, 71 to 85% of it is in the cost of operations and over a 40-year period of time. And so people need to understand that. And so we've written a bunch of ebooks on the topic, and we just started getting more and more people say, hey, can you give us more information, more information? We said, okay, we'll write a book. And so we wrote Entrusted, A Guide to Intentional Church Facility Stewardship.
Yeah. And, you know, as a pastor, this is something that I often have to keep at the forefront of my mind. It's something that my stewardship committee works diligently on, is this idea that, yes, we have a building and it is a discipleship tool. If we didn't have a building, church would be very difficult. Mm-hmm. And so we have been entrusted. We need to be a good steward of the building. Talk a little bit about that stewardship concept. Just assume that my stewardship committee is listening. What would you tell them as it pertains to the book?
Yeah. So as it pertains to the book, the beginning part of the book is really trying to set the foundation of what we mean by facility stewardship. You know, stewardship as a whole, for myself, and I've shared this with Tom before, growing up always meant money. Stewardship was always about capital stewardship campaigns and raising money for this, that, and the other. The reality, stewardship is really nothing more than taking care of somebody else's stuff. So we are all stewards of what we have been entrusted with. You know, too often I hear people talk about my church building, or we're entitled to this, or I deserve that. And the reality is we don't deserve anything. We've been entrusted with things, which makes us a steward. And then if you take it the step further and believe as we do that everything belongs to God, that means that we have been asked, we have been entrusted to steward God's stuff. Whether that's our church buildings, our houses, the word of God itself, the people that he entrusts to us, our families, everything has been entrusted to us. And I think, frankly, we're going to be held responsible for how we stewarded God's stuff, just like in the parable. You know, when the rich ruler comes back, you know, did we take our five and double it to five? Did we take our three and double it to three? Or did we bury it in the ground? Or did we run it into the ground? Maybe is another way to put it as well. And too often, we build these buildings with the greatest of excitements. You know, everyone gets thrilled with the shiny new thing. But then when things start falling apart, everyone kind of scatters. It's kind of like turning a light on with cockroaches. Everybody runs to the corners. You know, we don't want to have to deal with the garbage stuff. And frankly, we're seeing just a massive decline in church facilities across the country right now. We've been retained by some of our friends in the Presbyterian world to help them basically get rid of buildings because churches can't support them anymore. I'm doing a review right now, similar to what I did for you, Sam, down in Bradenton, for a church in DC that over the last, 20 years has had the wisdom to grow themselves down to 20 people in a historic building that's 100 years old, made out of limestone and stained glass. How do you take care of a building with 20 people?
Yeah, I think it's a theme that we're going to see more of. So this topic is extraordinarily important. And it's something I've seen in my own church where deferred maintenance got the better of us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what we thought was, hey, we're saving money. Well, over time, we were losing money.
Yeah.
And it's a whole lot, I've learned, it's a whole lot easier to raise money for a brand new worship space. It's a whole lot harder to raise money to repave the parking lot. This idea that you're, you know, giving us is so critical for churches to latch onto, because I do think we've missed something here.
We are talking to Tim Koo. He is the author of a new book, Entrusted, A Guide to Intentional Church Facility Stewardship. You can see the link in the show notes to go get that book right now. Tim, who should read the book?
Yeah, that's a great question. People will say, well, I'm not the facility manager, so should I read the book? Does it really matter? Well, when you figure the number of churches, and you guys know better than I, what is it, 70%, 80% of all churches have less than 200 people, or whatever that, well, they don't have facility managers. So, but they still have a building. So they're still a steward that's had something entrusted to them. So whether or not you're the pastor of a small church, whether or not you're the deacon over operations and facilities, or you're the elder over something, or you're the operations pastor, or if you're an executive, if you have any responsibility over the stewarding of facilities in any form or fashion, you know, we started a Facebook group about 4 months ago called Church Facility Management Solutions. And we've got, we're just broaching almost 1,000 members now in the last 4 months. And we've got everything from church secretaries to lead pastors and everything in between. And we opened it up as a free Facebook group, obviously. And the interactions, don't tell any of your readers or listeners to this, but I've probably learned as much from those participating as I knew myself.
Wow.
Because they're the ones that are living it. I'm a theorist, okay? I'm a theorist. I deal with things at a level of what should be and what is ideal. But when you see what people are living day in and day out with their facilities, things that most of us would just think are simple things, but when you really think about it, it's like, oh, wow, I hadn't thought about that. How do you do that?
Yeah, I can certainly speak from, my own experience and just something as simple as air conditioning units. We've got, 30, 40 of them connected to our facility in some way, shape or form. We do not have like a big master system. And our building and grounds crew has, done an incredible job. They've actually done very well. But I've heard these stories of, we walked up on the roof, we looked at this unit, and it was literally tied together with like bread ties or something. And you're just like, oh my goodness. It's like, I don't even want to know. Don't tell me. Don't tell me. Just spend the money to get it fixed. So I think you're right. I mean, and you are very good at that. This is the ideal. This is where you can go. This is, and your books are intriguing for that reason. But to have something at that ground level is very important because, when you look at the air conditioning unit that's held together with bread ties, you're just like, this is something that people feel and experience every day.
Yeah, exactly. You used the analogy earlier, Sam, about it being a tool. Our facilities are a tool. Mm-hmm. Well, our car is a tool as well. And yet most of us wouldn't think about going more than 3,000 to 5,000 miles before we change the oil. Most of us probably would be embarrassed if we drove around town with our bumper duct taped together and holding it up. And yet we do that in our church buildings constantly. There seems to be this almost lack of pride that happens with some people as their buildings get older, and they don't take care of it in the same way they would take care of their own personal property. And yet this is steward to you. This is entrusted to you just like anything else that's been entrusted to you. What are you going to do, to steward that?
So Tim, someone reads interested, several leaders in the church. We've talked about who the audience is, and it's really a broader audience than most people may originally think. Is this going to provide the church everything they need to know? Is it that comprehensive?
Tom, I wish it was. This is 110 pages or 120 pages.
Twice as long as my books.
Well, that's because we triple spaced everything and we used 20 font on everything. I wrote a couple of years back, I wrote a manual, a facility stewardship manual that has 275 pages. So this is one third the size of a manual that we put together that we already tell people is not an exhaustive manual. So the reality is there's no way to cover all the data in a book that anyone would ever read. It's what you really need to manage your facility is closer to Britannica than a book. Because there's just so many things involved with it. So what I encourage people this is a primer. This is a wake up and smell the roses or the trash pile or whatever analogy you want to use as to what you need to smell. But it's really something that is to get the conversation started so people have an awareness. Ooh, we're not doing what we should be doing. What are our next steps? How do we move into a more intentional way of providing good facility stewardship for what God's entrusted to us.
And before, yeah. Sam, I'll kick it to you in just a second. Before we get to the end of all of this discussion about the new book, let's just pause a minute. And if they need to contact you on a facility issue, we want to put that in the show notes. So you're Mr. Church Facility. How's the best way to get in touch with you and your company?
Yeah, so they can reach us at info@smartchurchsolutions.com. They can reach me personally at tim@smartchurchsolutions.com. They can reach me through Kevin Spratt no, he doesn't work for me anymore. sorry. Those are, quick ways to get a hold of us. If you're on our website, which is smartchurchsolutions.com. We have contact forms that you can contact us and provide us some additional information on what you're doing, and join our Facebook group and contact us through the Facebook group. All those are great ways to connect with us and to interact. On our resources page, Tom, we have still a slew of available resources.
You have some great resources. great resources. I mean, they can go there for a treasure trove. Sam, I'll kick it on to you now.
Yeah, I was just going to say that one of the things that I like about Tim and what he does is, you know, I've been consuming his content for, goodness, I want over 10 years. I mean, because, you know, he's been putting stuff out there on a regular basis for a long, long time. You know, I was blogging. I remember, you know, 10, 12 years ago, Tim, I mean, this was kind of a newer thing to be putting content out at, through a blog form. But you've kind of been at the cutting edge since a lot of this digital stuff took off. And I just want to say that one of the areas that I felt most equipped for and really inadequate as a leader was in the area of facility stewardship and understanding even what do I need to do as a pastor. And so the reason that I follow Tim and the reason that I consume his content is because he fills a gap for me in terms of a very weak area. And now when I go to a stewardship committee meeting or a finance committee meeting or building and grounds, or, you know, for all of you guys who are leading, you know, these churches of 100, 200, 300, 400, I mean, you know, this world is a very difficult world. It's a challenging world because often you don't have that person, that facility person that oversees everything. And I've leaned on Tim many, many times in the content that he produces to just help me fill in those gaps. And his books have been a big help. So I just want to encourage you to go check out all of his stuff, follow him on social media and go to his webpage and give it a look, because there's a lot of great content that's there.
Yeah. One of the questions we get asked is, you know, how small is too small to be thinking about taking care of our building? And as I said before, if you've got 50 people in a 5,000 square foot building, you still have a building you need to take care of. Mm-hmm. And so one of the tools that we have in our resources is what we call a facility evaluator. And it's a real simple, it's a free analysis, if you will, where you get to plug in how many square feet do you have and what do you spend on utilities and janitorial and general maintenance and capital reserves. And it will spit out a report for you to let you know if you're green, yellow, or red. You know, green, you're in the good, yellow, you're trending backwards, and red, you're in deep trouble. And, you know, if nothing else, a church should at least do that. Again, it's totally free, and determine are we in good or are we in trouble? And if you're in trouble, you're most likely way behind being in trouble, which means now you've got deferred maintenance and other things you need to address.
I love it. So somebody reads this book, Tim, what are some of the next steps? I presume you've probably given us some of them in our discussion already.
Yeah, going to our resources, going to the facility evaluator, those are key things. I'm going to give you a really kind of broad answer here, Tom, and then maybe whittle it down just a little bit.
Okay.
But the very first thing is you as a leader have to face reality. None of this from the book or anything that I have written or talked about is worth a hill of beans if you're not willing to face reality that either you're overspending or underspending, you have deferred maintenance, you have no capital reserve. You know, we just did this benchmarking study that we spent half of last year doing for hundreds of churches across the country. More than 60% of all churches don't have a defensible approach to any capital reserve planning. That's scary to me. Only 40% had a definitive plan as to how they established a capital reserve, if they even had a capital reserve. And so you've got to face reality. From facing reality, then you need to set a plan. So you may be sitting there, a pastor, you're sitting at your chair going, well, how do I face reality? Someone's got to be able to come in, whether it's someone like us, a local home inspector, even just someone that's qualified in your church, needs to give a critical review of your facility. One of the best things you can do, and Sam, you brought it up about going on the roof and looking at air conditioning units, walk your building, get on the roof, open every closet, every door, look at all of those things and look at them as if you're looking at it for the first time.
Hey, can I stop you and tell a quick story?
Yeah.
Do you mind?
Please.
So I do this. I walk our building inside and out, and I prayer walk maybe once every 3 weeks, 4 weeks. It's not, you know, it's not something I do every week, but it is something on a regular basis. I look at the landscaping. I look at the windows, you know, I'm praying through everything. So it's a spiritual exercise. But I don't know, a year ago or so, I noticed some bees, which is a major problem in Florida. Insects are larger and more numerous here. And so I just asked the question, I said, where are the bees coming from? And so we had our building and grounds team investigated, we had a hive that was one of the largest hives, two separate hives actually, that this special beekeeper person who had ever seen, and it required us to rip out huge sections of our walls in the foyer area of our worship space. And it was a several day project to remove, I don't know how many bees, I remember them telling me numbers and it was unfathomable how many bees this was. I think it was well into the six figures, how many bees that they estimated was in this hive. And this hive was 20 or 30 feet tall, extended well along the wall. All that was a major problem in our church, and could have been much worse had we let it go. And it happened. I was able to find out about it simply because I was just walking around the building.
Yeah. Yeah. We do some training for people that have stepped into a role of a facility steward. I prefer to call them a facility steward than a facility manager. Because I think it sets the priority of what your role really is. But so we do some training with people that have stepped into that role, and they'll say, well, where do we get started? Do we take classes? Do we do this? I said, no, walk your building. Look at everything. Look at things that you otherwise wouldn't have looked at if you were just a congregant. Look at every window and how it's trimmed out, and walk the roof. And you don't have to be an expert in all those things, but if something doesn't look right, take a picture of it and then find an expert that can tell you what it is. And so, to get started, face reality, and then once you've faced reality and understand what your situation is, you may need to bring in some additional professional help. Again, whether or not that's a firm like us or your local HVAC contractor. If you get up on your roof and you see bread ties holding things together, or you see your filter looks like a shag rug, you probably have a problem. And so you need to call someone that can take care of that for you. And then build a plan. How are you going to address this? Churches always say, well, we can't afford it. You can't afford not to do something about it. And if you have to start small, start small. If you can't afford to add, $100,000 to your budget, the next year add $5,000 to your budget. The next year add $15,000. And continue to do this to figure out a way to get caught up and to have proper funds in place. And then execute that plan. That sounds like business management 101. Face reality, develop a plan, execute the plan. And we might write a book on that. But that's really where it comes down to as far as the next steps go. Now, we'd love to serve churches, but we know that we're not always the right solution for people. And that's great. But we are always happy to provide our input, even if we can't, quote, be retained by a church. And, frankly, this audience many times will contact us. And it's a smaller church, and I'll spend an hour and a half on the phone with the pastor, and I'm just trying to give him every bit of information I can give him, send him some free resources so that their team can kind of self-perform what they need to get done.
We have had a great interview with Tim Kuhl, Smart Church Solutions. We've got all kind of links for the information that he's given, and even though he said he's not always the solution, Smart Church Solutions is not always a solution. They are a lot of the time. And we encourage you to contact him and them and to just listen to all the things they have to offer, because I tell you what, there is none better in facility stewardship than Tim Kuhl and his team. Once again, his book is Entrusted, A Guide to Intentional Church Facility Stewardship. Tim, thank you for being with us, my friend.
My pleasure, Tom.
As always, we thank Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, our sponsor. They are an incredible seminary fulfilling the Great Commission. We're excited about our partnership with them with a 37-hour Master of Arts in Church Revitalization. As always, we encourage you to take the free Church Future Indicator and know a little bit more about where your church may be going. You can learn more about both of these offerings by visiting sebts.edu. Or just look in the show notes, and you can also see the Church Future Indicator in the show notes. Always, thank you for joining us on Rainer on Leadership. We thank Tim Kuhl, Sam Rainer, and also Kevin Spratt in Lexington and Amy Jordan in Richmond. Our team on Rainer on Leadership. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you listen to us. And join us at churchanswers.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.